First name Mr., last name Brown. Mr. Brown and the Hello, Mr. Brown team are on a mission to help educators and parents empower students to make better choices to live better lives. He has the amazing ability to communicate to students of all ages, delivering his message to thousands each year. He grew up in a single-parent home in the inner city, but attended a suburban school. From that experience, he learned that no matter where you come from or what situation you find yourself in, it all comes down to your choices. Are you ready? Well, get ready to join thousands of others and say,
hello, Faith Bridge Church. I am so happy to be back here. This is a great place to be. I'm Mr. Brown. I really enjoy what I get to do, speak around the country, speak at schools. And for those of you who do not know me, my legal name is Mr. My first name is Mr., so you can call me Mr. Brown. That is my legal first name. I legally changed it to go along with my message, what I do in schools. And as I said in the video, when you make better choices, you will live a better life. So choose well. Can I get an oh yeah? I want to get just a quick ministry update about what's been going on in our ministry. Proclaim Ministries, our focus is connecting faith and life. And I believe this is children of God. We need to connect our faith with our life. It's not just something we believe and these are ideas. This is practical living. And it can be hard. Can I get an oh yeah? It can be hard to connect them. That's my desire, to help people connect faith and life. So quick update about what's going on in ministry. One of your own from this church, homegrown, Paige Rockensock, is on our team. She's been doing a great job with us. In the first week of September, please pray for us. I'll be coming back to Park Rapids, speaking at the schools here locally. I'm excited about that. Y'all can clap for that. Y'all can clap. I'm excited about that. Paige will be helping out. And through some of Paige's work, our app has gotten better. We do a lot more ministry tools in our app, so you can download our Proclaim Ministries app. We do a thought of the day, and if you watch those, Paige has edited probably over 30 of those thoughts of the days. She's done our kids' ministry memory verses. She actually worked on this series all by herself. She did it all. It's called Something to Think About, and it's basically me sharing the gospel to kids who don't go to church, and people don't go to church. I spend so much time in schools having one-on-one conversation with students, and I was talking to this girl who has just, I mean, you can name it, she's been through it. Abuse, drug use, herself, her parents, and I said, one-on-one, I was like, you need Jesus. I said, do you go to church? Well, I'm not religious. I said, listen, I'm not religious either. And so through that, I went, man, how can I get this message to these kids? So we created this series of 7 videos walking them through their faith, walking them through actually the gospel message. And we start with this question because I was at a school and I asked these students, how many feel like they don't matter? Hands went up, these middle school kids. And I said, what would make you feel like you mattered? One girl said, if I had more Instagram followers. And I feel their pain. I'm like, wow, I get that because our society's teaching us if you don't have followers, you don't have people liking your stuff, then you don't matter. But I had to tell these kids right there, listen, you matter. It's not about your looks, your followers. You've been creating an image of God. You have value. And so I start this series off with that. Your value doesn't come from people, your hair, your likes, your dislikes. It comes from the fact that you've been created in the image of the Most High God. Amen? And although we've been made in that image has been marred through sin, but God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. So I'm excited about that series. It's been on Facebook, social media, it's been on TikTok, it's been on all those media platforms, and I'm excited about that. Paige also is instrumental in making our podcast, the Connecting Faith and Life podcast. So I do a podcast every other week, just helping people connect faith and life, and also The Mr. Brown Show. Loud voices aren't always right. But silent voices can't be heard. And many sometimes us as Christians or those who may say they're conservative, we're quiet, we don't talk about these things, we don't ruffle feathers, and we got a generation of kids who are hearing the loud voices. And I don't want to be quote-unquote on the right or the left politically. I'm me. I have thoughts, right? I follow Christ. But sometimes the people on the right are right, they're correct, but they're not righteous. We point fingers, we sarcastic. We may be telling the truth, but we're not speaking the truth in love. The Bible teaches the believers to speak the truth in what? In love. I was talking to a student one time, and I'm going to talk about forgiveness today, and it's something I actually do in schools as well. I don't get to bring up the Bible the way I do today, but I talk about forgiveness, right? And so after I did this presentation, one of the girls, she was crying, and she came up to me and said, "Mr. Brown, I'm having a hard time forgiving my parents." And I was like, "Well, tell me what happened." "Well, my stepdad and my mom for years, there's drug abuse, a lot of problems in the family, and he left the family for a while. Now he's back, and things are better, but I'm still having a hard time forgiving him." So we talked a little bit more. As we talked more, I just had this unction. The Holy Spirit just, "Hey, ask her this question." I said, "Are you doing drugs? Do you drugs? Do you get high?" She was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Yeah." She said, "My mom lets me smoke weed with my stepdad." I would start scratching my head, like, "You're upset because your parents' drug abuse and what happened to you. Now you're doing drugs?" And I said, "Listen, your children are going to be in the same situation you're in one day." She goes, "Uh-uh." I said, "Okay. You told me earlier your grandparents did the drugs, your mom and your stepdad did drugs, now you're doing drugs. What's going to happen next?" Her face was like, "I never thought of that." And instead of condemning her, I'm like, "I get it. You haven't thought of that, but do you see what I'm saying now?" And so it's a joy of mine to be able to do these things, to be in public schools. But again, whatever sphere of influence you have, understand your voice matters. Whitney was praying about what I get to do and speak, but guess what? We're all missionaries, amen? Whatever field you're in, wherever you are, you have a voice. Speak the truth in love. And here's the beautiful thing. They want what we have. The world wants what we have. I got to speak to an organization called YPO. It's a huge organization. They're all presidents of multi-million dollar companies. They asked me to come speak to the family event. These people are filthy rich. I mean, I'm making one year what they make in 1 hour. So I'm speaking to these families, and they're nice people, the person that brought me in is a friend of ours, and she was telling me about the people she worked with. She said, "You know what? They want what we have. They got money, they got all these things, but they want truth. They want Jesus Christ. They just don't know it, amen?" And so sometimes we got to be bold to speak up. So again, the loud voices aren't always right, but silent voices can't be heard. And God has given us a voice, given us a chance to be salt and light in the world. Amen? Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word today, to get into your word. I pray that your word will transform us. Holy Spirit, would you teach us what you want us to hear today from you? Would you move me out of the way? Let you shine. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory will not be in us, but of you. So wherever we are, in our walk with you, God, meet with us. I pray for those who have not trusted Christ as their Savior. Maybe they're going through the motions. Maybe they are just here because they've been forced to be here. I pray that you would break through even my speed of speeching, my imperfections, that you would shine through, that your word would reign supreme. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I pray again for this week of VBS, that lives will be transformed and kids will be changed. And even families that don't come here, that their lives will be changed as well because their kids came to Vacation Bible School. Thank you for this church, the leadership here, and all the people that make this church what it is. Be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. If you have readers like me, put your readers on. Amen. Any readers out there, put your readers on. I'm with y'all. Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read verses 21 through 35, and we're going to talk about the idea of forgiven. Everybody say forgiven. Forgiven. Let's read it. This is a parable that Jesus gives, starting at verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servant. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that they had payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay me, pay what you owe.' So his fellow servants fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and you should not have mercy on your fellow servant. I have mercy on you." And in his anger, his master delivered him to the jailer until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. In this parable, Jesus is teaching Peter and responding to a question that Peter had. But if you look up at verse 15, go back up way up to verse 15, Jesus is teaching disciples on forgiveness and relationships. And I think this is the context of the relationship of disciples, those who follow Jesus Christ. And in verse 15, he says this, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two along with you, so that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to you, let it tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." So Jesus is teaching people how to deal with relationships. If someone sins against you, he didn't say, shoot them. He didn't say, get back at them. He says, forgive them. Go to them one-on-one. He didn't say, go gossip to someone else. And I think, unfortunately, in the church, we gossip. In our world, we gossip. Someone offends me, I don't tell them. I go tell my sister. I go tell my friend and get them to gang up on that person. Look how bad they are. Can I get an ouch? But Jesus says, no. Don't do that. Go to him one-on-one. And listen, y'all, that can be so hard. Even in marriage, it can be hard. But this is what Jesus says to do, to go into that person. Then if they don't, then bring somebody with you. If they don't, then go to the church. That gets in church discipline, and that's Pastor Jeff's job to teach that. So he can get to that later, right? But Jesus says, hey, when someone sins against you, go to that person. And you know what that takes? A lot of humility on our part. It takes a lot of humility, because guess what? We all got faults, right? I remember going to this workshop, and one of the jobs and one of the assignments the leader gave the workshop was to go home to your spouse, if you're married, and ask your spouse this question: what is one thing in our relationship that I can change, be better, to make our relationship better? And you had to ask that question, but you could not say anything back once they answered, and they could not answer the question either. You had to ask the question, they give you an answer, you had to walk away. Y'all want to try that? I did it. And my wife was like, wait, it's my turn. No, it's not your turn. This is just for me. This is the assignment. I'm doing it, walking away. And she wanted to tell me what she wanted, but listen, about me. And so sometimes we got to be humble ourselves to go to that person and also let somebody come to us. Amen. Because what happens is they'll come to you, Jeff will come to you, Mr. Brown, well, I want to talk to you about something. And I'll be like, well, you, no, let's get better as people. Amen. So Jesus teaching us how to do this. So Peter, go back down to verse 21. Peter was like, okay, Jesus. Peter gets up and says, okay then, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Well, Peter's really saying, Jesus, look at me. I'll do it seven times. I'm good. He was justifying himself. How often do we justify ourselves? I got two little beautiful kids at home with me right now, and they're always justifying themselves. Sophia, why didn't you do that? Because I was doing this now. Sophia, can you still do it? I don't know. Just going back. Evan, same thing. They try to justify themselves. Peter's justifying himself. So in other words, it could be said this way. Jesus, I forgive people seven times. I'm good. But Jesus says, no. Not seven times, but 70 times seven. And the truth is, it's not even about the number. It's that you keep extending forgiveness. Amen? But y'all like, that's hard. What if they? Is it about they? It's about me and Jesus, amen? And I think one of the problems is we have a bad definition of forgiveness, which we're going to get into in a little bit. I'm going to give a definition of forgiveness because I think sometimes we think of the wrong thing. That's why it's hard to forgive people. So in the story, Jesus now tells Peter a parable. He tells this parable, and I think it's a great parable. I wish I had kids in here because I would get them to come up here and act for me. Here it is, this servant who just got forgiven. He's been forgiven, and actually the 100 denarii, the amount, the talents that he owed, that amount he would not be able to pay. Even though he's getting to the knees going, I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back. He had no way to pay back. It was impossible. But he's been forgiven of that debt. He's been set free. He's free. Now he sees a fellow servant who owes him a very little money in comparison. It's maybe like a day's wage or like a, you know, not that much money, right? He goes to begin to choke him. Pay me what you owe. But do you get that image? So he wouldn't let him pay. He put him in jail. But when others heard of it, they were like, this isn't right. They told the king. The king called him back in, and now the king put him in jail. And this is a great image of forgiveness because we've been forgiven so much. Amen? I think we forget how much we've been forgiven. The longer we become Christians, sometimes we get hoity-toity. Is that a phrase? We become very religious. We forget where we came from. And honestly, y'all, I've been reading a book by A.W. Tozer. Actually, I listened to a lot of audiobooks. I told you the last time. But listen to the audiobook, The Attributes of God by A.W. Tozer. And it's been wrecking me, y'all. Our God is transcendent. Our God is holy. Our God is not like us. He loves us, but he is totally different, perfect and pure without sin. Habakkuk said, how can I look on this God? He's so great. Isaiah fell to his knees. And sometimes I approach God flippantly. I don't see God as he really, really is. And my sin deserved the ultimate punishment of eternity in hell forever. That's what I deserve. That's what we deserve. But he forgave me. I don't want to spend time telling you my story about how I grew up in church and the sin I committed and just living a duplicitous life. But sometimes my wife, she grew up in the Christian home, wore skirts till she was 13 years old, very religious family. And so sometimes when she hears my story, she feels like she doesn't have a story to tell because she hasn't been out in the world and doing those things. And my view is, girl, I'm glad you ain't been out there with that. There's a whole bunch of scars. I've been forgiven, but there's some scars from that stuff. Y'all with me? God has forgiven me my sins, but there's been some consequences of things in my life that I still deal with. I'm grateful I'm forgiven. I stand righteous before him. Do you understand? We are righteous before a holy God, not because of ourselves, but because of Christ. So when I look back, and I love the Apostle Paul, if you read his writings, he often talks about what he used to be, but it's but God, but God, but God. And so this servant did not understand what he's been forgiven. And so I want to just walk through what I believe forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. Because we've been forgiven, and the problem is this. Sometimes we don't want to forgive people because we have the wrong idea of what forgiveness is. So here it is. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay. When somebody sins against you and they've done something wrong, for you to forgive them does not ever mean you have to say what they did was okay. Because my sin, was it ever okay? No, but it's been forgiven. When I was a kid growing up, a teacher would do this to it. Like one day this kid threw a rock across the playground, hit me in the head. I ran up to him and got in a fight. Teacher broke it up and said, say you're sorry. He said, I'm sorry. I said, it's okay. Was it okay? No, it hurt. It hurt bad. It was not okay. But for me to forgive him does not mean I have to say it's okay. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay. But here's another one. Forgiveness is not pretending it didn't happen. That's the adult way, right? Pretend it didn't happen. But here's the question. Can we hold that stuff in for a long time? No, we can't. We try to hold it, but eventually we keep pushing down. It's like a beach ball. We push it down, push it down, push it down, and guess what's going to happen eventually? It'll come out. Anybody married? And it's true. So it's not pretending it didn't happen. Forgiveness is not, I got to hurry up because I'm running out of time. Forgiveness is not bringing it up to other people or them again. I'm going to say this with our kids, especially parents. If your kid did something and y'all dealt with it, don't bring it up at Thanksgiving when grandmama come over. That's not forgiveness. You bring it up over again. They feel the shame and the guilt again. If we forgave it, move on. It is not giving them the same access necessarily. And I was kind of cautious about talking about this part because as believers, you know, we want to build relationships back. But listen, if somebody abused you and they have no intent on, you don't have to give them the same access. Y'all follow me? I don't want to get too graphic, but you don't have to give them the same access. But you can forgive them and let that go and not keep holding that pain in your own heart. And I'll explain that a little bit more. I believe this too. It's not waiting until they ask. You don't have to wait till someone asks you for forgiveness to forgive them. My dad has never asked for forgiveness. He was not a part of our family. He didn't raise me. But I'm not going to hold that my whole life and wait for him. You follow me? I got to let it go. Here's my definition of forgiveness. It is a choice to release someone of the debt they owe you. They've injured you. They hurt you. And it's a choice. It starts with a choice to release them of the debt they owe you. How many wish your bank, Visa, MasterCard would forgive you? Can I get amen? But that's the idea, that they hurt me, but I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not looking for something from them. And so I want to walk through this illustration of an iron really quick. As a kid growing up, my mama taught me to iron my clothes. Matter of fact, last night when I arrived at the Hills house, I asked for an iron so I could iron my shirt, get my clothes all pressed, right? Let's imagine I plug this iron up. Plug it up, get it all hot, ready to go. Sometime you test it, ready to go. And let's say I got the iron all hot, ready to go, and I go like this. What would y'all do? Y'all would scream. Y'all not hurting. I am. But you would feel my pain, right? And so if I did this from a natural point, if I took the iron, I did like this, you would tell me to do what? Stop. Let it go. I've incurred an injury. This hurts. And if I walked around with an iron on my hand like this that was blazing hot, y'all think something's wrong with that brother. Don't bring him to teach to our kids anymore. So, illustration, when someone lies on you, they betray you, they abandon you, whatever they do, they create some kind of injury towards you. You're hurt. What should you do? No, hold on to it. Tell other people about it. Bring it to all the family holidays. Now, I'm not saying this is easy, but for me, from a physical standpoint, let's talk about physically. Let's say I really did that physically, I would let go. Once I let go, would my hand be healed? No. But our bodies are so amazing. I'm glad for VBS we're talking about how fearfully, wonderfully made we are. As soon as I let go, my body will start the healing process. But I may need to go see a nurse, get some medication, get somebody to help me out so I can start healing. Until one day, I will be able to use this hand. I'll be good to go. It may look a little different, but guess what? I'm healed. Y'all with me? Say, oh, yeah. So it's a process, right? So I think there's a process of forgiveness. I want to give you three simple steps of forgiveness. Number one, I choose to forgive. You have to start with the choice to say, yes, I forgive you. I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go. I am not saying what you did was okay. And sometimes the conversation is not even with the other person. It's between you and God, first and foremost. I'm letting that go. It hurt. It was painful. But I'm choosing to what? Let go. Now, from this standpoint, I need to walk to the second step. And that is, I am forgiving. I'm walking through the process. I made a choice. Now I'm walking through this process of making sure that I'm really letting it go. And for that means, sometimes it means talking to a counselor, talking to a pastor, praying with a friend. Not gossip, but talking to someone to help you walk through that process. Because some of us have been hurt so bad. Some of us got some years of hurt that we need to talk to. And a good counselor, number one, will help you not tell you what to do, help you figure it out. The best counselor help you look to God. But sometimes talking can help. Y'all with me? Until we get to the third step, I have forgiven. That I have forgiven you. How do you know? Here's how you know. You can walk in church, like a Sunday morning like this. You happy, meeting people. Hey, how you doing, sister? How you doing? And you see that person. And this is what doesn't happen. Because sometimes that's what happens. We have unforgiveness. Can I get oh yeah? All this angst, all this hurt just builds back up. And now it's controlling us. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying this. There's a process. And it has to start with a choice. And the first choice is really believing that you've been forgiven in Christ. Understanding you were that evil servant, that wicked servant, he called them in the parable, who has been forgiven so much, but yet you refuse to let that go. I don't know where you are today. The most powerful thing about this message is not that we do the forgiving, but that we've been forgiven. Amen? Think about what Christ has done. Romans 5:1 talks about fact. Having faith, we've been justified through faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been declared righteous in Jesus Christ. Our sin is no longer on us. We've been forgiven past, present, and future sin. We've been forgiven fully, freely, and forever. That was a great spot for an amen, y'all. Come on. I know we're quiet at first service, okay? but we've been forgiven. And we need to walk in that forgiveness. And that forgiveness should teach us how to forgive others. In a moment, Pastor Jeff's going to come up and do communion, lead us in communion. and really this image of forgiveness and what Christ has done for us, that we get to partake in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, which leaves us justified. We are set apart. We are in Jesus Christ. And because of who I am and because of what he's done in me, I choose to forgive others. It's not always easy, but it's righteous in what God has commanded us to do. And not only that, y'all, here's the beautiful thing. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us who empowers us to do that very thing. Three quick examples. Unforgiving or not forgiving someone is like putting someone in prison just to find out the prisoner is really you. Not forgiving someone is like punching yourself in the face but expecting the other person to feel the pain. Here's my favorite. Not forgiving others is like kicking the bed because you stubbed your toe. You keep incurring more and more pain. And as the parable said, he says, "My father, he will put you in prison." And that prison is our own. We're putting it ourselves. We're not living the life we can live in that freedom. We put ourselves back in bondage because we refuse to forgive others. I had a lot more to talk about, but I'm out of time. I'm going to leave you with this. Forgive others because you've been forgiven. Forgive others because you've been forgiven. Don't hold on to it. Don't walk around with a bunch of irons in your hand. Playing the victim. Look at everybody did to me. Look at what everybody's doing to me. No, look at what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this amazing story in the Bible. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us how to have relationships with one another. And the idea of this word forgiveness is not a religious word, it's a relationship word. You want a relationship with us, so you sent your son to die for us on the cross. As your followers, we want to be like you. We want to be sanctified, set apart. We've been justified. Help us first to cherish and understand the salvation you've given us through Jesus Christ. Our new identity is no longer a sinner, but we used to be sinners, now saved by grace. Yes, we may live in a sinful world and do sinful things, but you've declared us righteous because of the work of Christ. Help us walk in that truth every day. Help us to be free. For who the Son has set free is free indeed. But we need to obey you and walk with you. And Lord, as we sin ourselves, I'm grateful that you gave us a promise that if we can confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. But you've also commanded us to forgive our brothers and sisters. Forgive those who sin against us or our hurt won't end. We forgive because we've been forgiven. God, thank you for that forgiveness. Help us, Holy Spirit, would you help us? Would you reveal to us any unforgiveness in our hearts? Anything we've been, bitterness and anger that we're holding on to? We got too many irons that we're holding on to. God, give us the grace and give us the power to let it go. Help us look to you as Jesus' example of ultimate forgiveness. Thank you so much, God, that you call us to be your children, to walk with you, and not only that, you empower us to walk with you. So as we have some conversations at home tonight, maybe among spouses, maybe with our kids, maybe with siblings, maybe with coworkers this week, or even if we don't have those conversations, help us to start with forgiving ourselves and letting things go, because you've let all our sin go in the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen.